The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ethan Hewitt of KMA Land Shenandoah and Dale Wegner of Sac Sun. Ethan, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
All right. Thank you, Senator, for having us. Maybe just start us off here. Of course, we do have some updates coming out of the Middle East after that temporary ceasefire. Israel is now calling for more evacuations a little further south in Gaza. It's pulled back its negotiators. Just kind of give us an update, your reaction to some of the latest developments we've seen over there in the Middle East, obviously regarding the Israel-Hamas war right now.
Well, I haven't heard any news today, so if I'm reading you wrong, you tell me. The negotiations for hostage release has stopped. Is that right? And then you want to know what the situation is. I think it's going to be hard to get them up going again because Hamas has said some of the hostages that we want out aren't controlled by them anymore. I think that's blue smoke because Hamas is not only the military within Gaza, but it's also the political leadership. And it seems to me if there's some people that are of a different version of terrorism than Hamas, that Hamas could still dictate to them. But if Hamas isn't willing to do that, then I think we're at a standstill as far as the hostages are concerned. And then, of course, to finish up the answer to your question, once the ceasefire stopped, then the Israelis are continuing their activity, moving it to southern Gaza, just like they did northern Gaza. They got northern Gaza pretty well under control, and they're trying to do the same thing in the south. Their goal is to obliterate the Hamas as an organization, at least through its political and military leadership, and do away with them. And I think what we saw happen on October 7th is a legitimate goal. Dale.
Yes, Senator. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum suspended his presidential campaign today and basically saying that the process doesn't work if you aren't from a major media market area. What are your thoughts on how the field is getting narrowed before the first ballot or votes are even cast in these caucuses and primaries?
I think it's a natural thing to happen. I think we had too many candidates in the first debate, 9 or 10, and we probably had at that time 13 or 14 candidates. And I think when you narrow it down to 2 or 3, we're going to have a more vibrant and productive caucus system in Iowa. And as time goes on and more people are eliminated as you go further through the primary system in the other states, it's going to be more productive and meaningful. And everybody, including Trump, then will have to work hard to get the nomination. And I think you appreciate the position of presidency more if you had to fight to get it, as opposed to being handed to you on a silver platter. Ethan?
And some of those 2024 presidential candidates, including former President Trump, are continuing to call for repealing the Affordable Care Act that was signed into law in 2010 during the Obama administration. I guess what's kind of your reaction to this, and what sort of movement, if any, do you sort of predict in the Senate sort of on this matter?
I wish people would remember that already Republicans under the Trump administration have done away with two bad things that was in the original Obamacare. One was the individual mandate, where you either had to have insurance or you're going to get fined for it. And then there was a tax that we repealed. And so those two things were very cumbersome, very difficult, and would have forced the government to force everybody into an insurance policy, even if you could insure yourself. Or even if you wanted to take a gamble, you couldn't do it. So Republicans have already done away with it. We haven't had, we're also going to have Republicans working to make sure that Obamacare is more affordable and give people more options than what the Democrats want to do. but I'm not hearing Republicans in Washington talk about repeal. We're talking about getting drug prices down, maintaining health care in rural America, particularly hospitals, and those are the things that we're working on now. Dale?
Yes, Senator. We're coming up on another deadline for the budget issues that have Congress has been fighting for the last year or longer. Do you anticipate this next go-round to have any resolution that'll give us a longer-term solution?
Well, don't forget, we've always budgeted a year at a time, so you go through this process every year. It's just getting worse and worse because Congress isn't spending the time that you need to do individual appropriation bills. You know, when I first came to the Senate, we start at 10 on Monday and go to 4 on Friday. Now it seems like we start at 5:30 vote on Monday. We have full days Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Thursday, mid-afternoon, everybody heads to the airport. There's plenty of work for senators 7 days a week, but you can't make policy if the Senate's not meeting. So I think longer sessions and more days worked would help this process along so you don't have to go up till Christmas Eve. Now, last year, it took us up till Christmas Eve. This year, now those dates are moved ahead till January 19th. So if your question relates to the January 19th date of finishing the appropriation process so you don't have to worry about government shutting down, just doing the regular appropriation bills. This is the first time in 5 years that we've actually worked on individual appropriation bills. Only 3 out of 12 in the United States Senate, 7 out of 12 in the U.S. House, and I think we've got time between now and January the 19th to get the rest of them done, and that's what you call regular order. So regular order is the answer to your question. Now, it might happen that we don't get all 12 done, but let's say we get 7 or 8 done that take up about 80% of the federal spending, then put the rest of them in an omnibus appropriation bill would probably be justified this particular year. But I'm hoping over the next 12 months that we do the 12 appropriation bills separately. Ethan?
And of course, the USMCA dispute panel recently released a report that Canada's dairy tariff rate quota did not breach the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreements. I guess, what was kind of your reaction to this report, and I guess what action do you think maybe could be done moving forward from here with that?
Well, obviously, I disagree with the decision that was made, and it kind of obliterates one of the major victories we had in the USMCA that we were supposed to move Canada away from government-run dairy programs to a point where we would be able to export more of our dairy products into Canada. And it looks to me like that so-called victory is now not a victory as a result of this decision. And the only thing that I can hope is that we would go into negotiations with Canada once again to get them to live by the USMCA. And if they didn't want to do that, then we'd take what we call countervailing actions against certain imports from Canada into the United States. Dale, yours will be the last question.
Okay, Senator, talk a little bit on border security and the people coming into our country. How safe do you feel we are in the United States from a terrorist coming across the border or anything like that?
Okay. Remember, if you wanted to fly to the United States and your name was on the terrorist watch list, you'd never get into the United States. You'd never get on the airplane. So you can go to Mexico, walk across the Rio Grande, and come to this country. We had about 180 of them. I can't say that I know that those 180, and by the way, it may be a lot more than 180 because 180 is just the number that's been checked on and their names taken down by the Border Patrol. If you snuck into this country and didn't engage with a Border Patrol agent, then you could be a terrorist coming in that way. So we may have a lot more than 180. Now, I can't tell you that I know that we're going to have terrorist attacks by these people coming to this country, but why would a terrorist want to come to this country if his profession is terrorism? He's going to do harm to us. So I'm very worried about it, that we could have terrorist activities in this country like we've had in the past. And, you know, we've had numerous people, sometimes 20 or 30 people killed by a terrorist, and sometimes maybe just one or two. But they do their dirty work, and for all we know, these 180 will be up to the same thing. Thank you both very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan and Dale, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.